Welcome to our concert of prayer. The question was asked, what would it take for the church today to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts? The Lord gave this word, pursue intimacy. Intimacy will lead to purity. Purity will lead to unity. And unity will lead to power. A little over a year ago, Iowa Yearly Meetings Ministry and Council recognized that we could become spiritually stronger and more effective as the body of Christ if we were corporately praying together. In our planning, we felt God lead us to do a series of three concerts of prayer based on this word from Vicki Sawyer received from the Lord. Pursue intimacy. Intimacy leads to purity. Purity leads to unity. And unity will lead to power. In November, we gathered in several locations for our first concert of prayer. How many of you were at one of the concerts of prayer in your location in November? Wonderful. Yes. And in April, we again had prayer in several locations, and we focused on purity. How many of you attended the concert of prayer on purity? Wonderful. So you're familiar with this. Approximately 200 people participated in 7 different locations around the yearly meeting. Today, we look forward to the opportunity to pray with unity as a yearly meeting, seeking the power of the Holy Spirit. If this is your first opportunity to meet in a concert of prayer, we hope that you will participate fully, whether we are praying in small groups, individually, or as a whole. Let's begin together by singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and let's stand together as we sing.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. may be seated.
Will you join me at the foot of the cross and at the throne of Jesus in prayer? Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight a humble and needy people, but we also come to you as a people with boldness before your throne and great expectancy of what is going to take place in this room tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for all of us. And Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to come and walk the aisles and hover close to each one of us here. As we lift our voices in prayer, as we lift our voices in song and in adoration to the one true God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, we ask that you bless us this night so that we can continue to be a blessing to you and to those around us. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Lord, and our Savior. Amen.
We are celebrating our 150th anniversary as Iowa Yearly Meeting of Friends. We have been looking at our heritage as friends. We know that from the earliest days with George Fox, the source of the power of friends has been intimacy with God. Fox was searching for more religion. He went to the priests and traveled the villages and found no answers. Then he heard a voice which said, "There is one, even Christ Jesus, who can speak to thy condition." The realization that the living Christ speaks today and awareness of his presence in their midst led early friends into tremendous evangelism, which resulted in the growth to 50,000 people in just 13 years. It fueled social reforms, which included prison reform, the anti-slavery movement, and equality for women. Miraculous signs and wonders, including many healings, occurred. We have invited the children to show us what the presence in the midst was like then and what it may look like today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As was portrayed, when we are united in our focus on Christ, we experience intimacy with Christ, and the Holy Spirit is among us as we stand on holy ground. We will now sing two choruses, and after the choruses, we would like to invite all of us to spend some time in silent prayer. We invite you to talk to the Lord in silent, personal prayer and tell him how much you love him and enjoy his presence. We'll sing together now, Holy Ground.
Why don't we stand?
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Presence on holy ground.
Let's sing that one more time.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around.
Amen. God invites us to really know Him. Intimacy with God leads us into purity. As we love God more and more, we desire to be more like Him. And we obediently set aside those things that interfere with our intimacy with Him. If we don't know Him, we don't understand His will and we don't understand His ways. We don't realize how through His power that we can do things that we could never do on our own. Entering into the power of the Holy Spirit requires absolute loving obedience. And this results in purity. In the Word of God, in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, the Lord says, "If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." We would like to invite you to a time of small group prayer now. And what we would like you to do is, from the people sitting right around you, to get into groups of four people. We would like you to pray out loud. We know that maybe that's a little uncomfortable for some of us. But when we pray together and we pray out loud, we can hear each other's hearts. So we would like you to divide up into groups of four people, and each person, as is said in the bulletin, we would like each person to take one topic. Humility, the second person, pray and seek my face. The third would pray that we would turn from our wicked ways. And person number four, that God will hear and forgive and heal. Let's go to prayer.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear and will forgive. Forgive their sin. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I will forgive their sin. I will forgive their sin. I will forgive their sin. And if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray.
When we've purified our hearts, the Holy Spirit can bring us into an unusual unity that releases the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the most amazing stories of unity is the story of the Azusa Street Revival, which was in Los Angeles. It really flourished from 1906 to 1909, and then it continued on a smaller scale until 1915. This is the revival that birthed the Pentecostal churches. It opened the way for the charismatic movement. There were many healings, many people saved, and it launched a mission movement that touched 50 nations in just the first 2 years. There were a number of unusual phenomena that happened at that revival, but William Seymour, the leader of that revival, said that the greatest miracle and the true sign of the Holy Spirit was the unity and the love that characterized the early years of the mission. William Seymour was the son of former slaves, and he was blind in one eye. And the board at the Azusa Street Mission had both men and women, and both blacks and whites, which was practically unheard of at that time. The seating arrangement for the Azusa Street Mission had the pulpit on the ground floor in the middle with benches all around it. It was emphasizing the equality and the unity of all. Many people who might have been uneasy about the unusual phenomena that was happening there, people being slain in the spirit, praying in tongues, fire on the roof, the glory cloud in their midst. They had to set aside their preconceived notions of how church ought to happen if they were going to experience what God was doing. There are also some people who wouldn't allow a woman to preach in their churches at home and had never considered sitting side by side, blacks and whites together in church. They had to humble themselves and submit to that spirit of unity and equality if they wanted to experience the presence of God in their midst. Revelation 7, 9 to 12 tells us that one day a great multitude that no one can count from every nation, tribe, tongue, and people is going to stand before the throne of God and the Lamb. And they will cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And when we set aside our differences and worship Jesus Christ in that spirit of unity, we get to have a foretaste of that heavenly experience. Purity and unity are prerequisites for experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. How many times have friends missed out on everything God wanted to do among us because we were not willing to submit in obedience and unity and humble ourselves and receive God the way he wanted to come? Today I've asked Daryl Coffin, clerk of Iowa Yearling Meeting, to lead us in a prayer of repentance for times when we've been too proud, too prejudiced, or too self-sufficient to humble ourselves and receive all that God wanted to do among us. Then I've invited Fina Shimaka and Emma Nichols to lead us in prayers for unity.
As we pray, if you would feel free, would you take the hand of the person beside you and bow in prayer with me? Holy Father, you are the living God. Holy, just, loving, unchanging. You are worthy of worship and praise and honor and glory. Your word is true and we rely upon it, especially when our own words feel so inadequate. You have in your written word the words from the Psalms, "Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me known, know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast and upright spirit within me." In repentance, we submit to you. We turn away from that neglecting of your word, the ignoring of your call, and ignoring your children. Through your cleansing, we are purified, not for our own purpose or pride, but for your use and your purpose. Purify us. Help us to turn away from those things that inhibit our walk with you, that we may put on the new self who is being renovated to a true knowledge according to the image of Jesus, your Son, and you, our Father. Father God, instill in us the desire to be clean and set us apart from the world. Set us apart for your use by the power of Jesus. I pray. Amen.
Papa Mungu, nimesimama mbele yako, naomba, tukuwe na umoja. Mahala ambayo tumetoka, Mungu, tuendelee kuwa na umoja. Kwa familia zetu, kwa makanisa zetu, kwa shule, kwa hiyo kanisa, Mungu utusaidie. Baba Nyasaye, nakusaranga imbele uo, wake zano, kule basanje babo. Kwambane, kubalala. Kosa kuba nukukwala mwami, kukwala makwana kako. O God, my God, I stand before you at this moment. Lord, you are God that hears every language in every human being. God, I just prayed in Swahili, Luya, and Lord, now I'm praying in English. Unity brings love. Lord, I just pray for all of us that, Lord, as we walk, let's walk side by side. Let's not walk ahead of one another, nor behind one another. You are God of everyone. God, you reveal yourself. As George Fox said, God that is in every body. Lord, we have had prayers. We have prayed for many things. But Lord, at this moment, let's search our hearts. Let's bring unity as we sit next to each other. We are not righteous. Only unity, Lord, that will bring mankind to have the Holy Spirit guiding us. The Holy Spirit will bring power to us in our churches, in our daily lives, in our communities. Lord, you are God that knows where it hurts, where love is, where righteousness is. Lead thy people to righteousness. As I continue to pray, Lord, you will unite us. Many of us have come from different countries, different cities, different villages, different homes, different background, but Lord, here we are together, united, praying. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Me. God, I just thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together as a body in your name and just take this time to set apart and pray. God, I ask that you be with the youth that are here and help them to understand and recognize in humility their leadership potential. And God, I just ask that you be with them as they grow. And God, we can't, as young people, lead without knowing how to lead. And you've given us the ability to learn by watching those who have come before us. And God, I just ask that you help us to watch and learn from our elders and respect their traditions, God. And then through that, take the step to step into leadership positions, God. And I also ask that you help us as young people to take charge of those who are younger than us and that come after us, and just help them learn as we learned, to watch and listen and absorb, God. And I just ask that you bless all of those who are here together, and again, just praise your name for this wonderful opportunity for all ages to come as one and just worship you, God, because you are the one and true God. And as a unit, God, help us to listen to you above all and just be able to discern what you want over what we want, God, because you have a good, pleasing, and perfect will. And in your name, amen.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Vayishtomamu, vayitmeu, vayomru, ish el re'ehu, hineko ele. Ha merabarim, halo galilim hema. Ve'ech anachnu shomim o'il
giorno di Pentecoste stava completamente
fue llegado el día de Pentecoste.
Keri nace dresci gen piencesonizzi, znaid valisce fistirat,
kentos impinusti santi nimerantis Pentecostis isan, pante sumu et pitorto.
Le jour de la Pentecoste is a pan tous ensemble de la
Spirit of the
When our intimacy with God goes deep and the impurities of our lives have been surrendered to God, we find unity in drawing close to God. God can then release the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. The question is, do we really want it? Do we want to be more effective as a corporate body of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to humble ourselves, receive what He wants to do among us, and obey? God wants to bless us with His Holy Spirit. Can we lay aside any discomfort that keeps us from receiving God's gift of the Holy Spirit? Paul says, "Do not quench the Spirit." I don't want us to miss the blessings that God wants to give us. If we don't understand what Holy Spirit power means, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, all that I have said to you. So let us ask with faith, what is the power of the Holy Spirit? We invite Ron Bryan to talk with us as we seek answers to this question.
You know, when I started preaching quite a long time ago, one of the first churches I was asked to speak in often was the guy that we know as Dr. Doug Smiley now. And the practice they had when I went to their little Methodist church in Barn City, Iowa, was when the preacher ascended the platform, he always first knelt at the chair beside the pulpit. And I have to admit, I was a little intimidated or awkward at the time. But I came to understand the incredible importance of being humble and being in the realization that it is not by my might or by my sight that if anything good is going to come out of my mouth, it needs to be of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to say tonight, to begin with, I have been fortunate enough to travel in Africa, and I'm going to return soon. And I fully receive the wonderful gift and honor that you have bestowed tonight. And I receive it as a humble servant. So thank you. For this last several months, perhaps about 9 months, we have been on a journey in Iowa Yearly Meeting. And I'll have to admit to you that today has been probably one of the most distractive days I've ever had in the ministry. It seems like I have been everywhere. Meals weren't on time, things were cold, we wanted to change this, we wanted to change that. I understand all of that. And I'm now wanting to just invite you to join with me. Where did Scott go? I've asked Scott to come up and pray for me before we start today. Our new youth and young adult director, Mr. Biddle, would you pray?
Dear God, I just thank you for this evening, and your Spirit is as present as all can be present. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray that you will continue to open our ears and our eyes to be able to see and to hear you with everything that you have to give us tonight. Lord, I pray for my brother Ron, that your tongue will be the one that speaks tonight. That your spirit will flow through him and out of his mouth in a way that he has not experienced before. God, we give this time and this moment and this place to you, that you will continue to move as you have already. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Well, we started on a journey with the theme, intimacy with God. Intimacy with God brings purity, intimacy with God brings unity, and intimacy with God brings power. And that's the pattern that I have followed in a number of places that I have spoken on this subject. But I'm still even learning this week a little more about what this means. The thing that has been drawn to my attention frequently, or almost every time I've tried to approach the subject, is the realization that everything, purity, unity, and power, come out of intimacy with God. Without intimacy with God, we oftentimes are trying to work in our own power. I have been fully aware of the desire of the heart of this committee, the ministry and council, the leaders who have put all of these events together, that their desire is to see the Holy Spirit poured out on Iowa Yearly Meeting in a way and such what we have perhaps not in our lifetime seen. And in fact, in the last few weeks, I've experienced even some of those prayers and witnessed through the tears of the people that have been praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Iowa Yearly Meeting. So it is in that spirit I will attempt to share with you what I believe God has put on my heart. Intimacy with God. You know, the first verse that I took a look at, I want to go back here, and I need to go back to Acts. I need a little more room up here, I feel like. So, Acts chapter 1. We have heard two men from Indiana Yearly Meeting speak two times each and have done a fantastic job of dividing the word and sharing with us so far this week. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We want to have an experience of God, and we need to have it every day. I don't think it's a special occasion. It begins with intimacy. And I always look to Matthew 22, verses 37 through 38. You want to talk about intimacy with me? That's where I seem to always end up going. And that is found when Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." I was sharing with Scott last night. I think it was last night. It's kind of a blur now. Maybe it was this morning early. But I had an experience years and years and years ago. I was a brand new Christian, and I had gone to a church service, and I was there listening to an evangelist preach. It was in a Nazarene church, and I was stood up to have prayer toward the end of the service, and I nearly fell down in faint, and I didn't know why or what was going on. In fact, I was kind of scared and really uncomfortable with the feeling that I thought maybe I really was dying. And that went on for a while, and then I'd take a deep breath, and I got to feeling a little better. And so I left, and I went home. And that night, whenever I tried to go to sleep, I had this crazy sensation come over me, and then it started in my feet, and it kind of tingled and worked its way right up to my head. And I had this strange feeling that if I ever let it go all the way to my head, I'd be dead. And it was very disconcerting, quite frankly. It wasn't until during the night while I was wrestling with this fear, I finally came to a place of fatigue or submission, I'm not sure which, but I said, Lord, I guess you want to take me, you're going to take me. And I went to sleep. And I've never had that experience since or again. Now, folks, the Nazarene Church does not preach about being slain in the Spirit. If you know anything about that denomination, that is not part of their theology. So I have never named it that. I tell you what I did learn, though, and I think I felt I understood clearly enough, that the Holy Spirit had touched my body, and He was cleansing me from all the trash that had been accumulating in my life for many years. So, out of that intimacy, I felt called to go to Bible college and ended up doing the one thing that I hoped I would never be called to do, preaching. But that was the beginning of a journey that has brought us to this place. Intimacy with God, I think, brings purity. Intimacy with God. Here in verse 5, it talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I heard Manny Garcia talk about this several months ago, and he said, I think that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the purity. That's Jesus speaking through the Holy Spirit into our lives. And we're being purified. Acts 2:3 talks about the fire that came down. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that, and we all who were with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. It isn't my glory. It's not your glory. It's not the glory of my name, my lineage, any of those things. This comes from God and God alone. Well, that's a good thing, because I tend to mess it up. And intimacy with God brings unity. In verse 6 there in Acts chapter 1, it says they were waiting together. They had listened to Jesus, and He told them to go and wait. And so they went and they waited together. Men and women in an upper room waited on the Holy Spirit to come. In John 17, Jesus prayed for His disciples and all of the believers to come. He says that all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one. Unity is a witness to the world for the church. And finally, intimacy with God brings power. Verses 7 and 8 says, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit and become My witnesses to everyone and everywhere. So they will know them by their unity, and they will know them because of the power they witness and they see. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And it says in verse 37 there in Acts chapter 2, it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And I think we know the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and 3,000 were added to the church that day. Well, let me ask you a question. Today we're talking about power, and the question that's been rolling around in my mind and heart for days and days and days is power to do what? What are we asking God for power for? We live in a culture and an age of the church where a lot of people ask for power. But power to do what? Is it just power to do good? Or is it power to use for my selfish ambitions so that it makes me look good? What kind of power are we talking about? First thing I did was thought, boy, this is a pretty hefty subject. So I went to my Greek lexicon that I hadn't looked at for a while. And I started looking around in the word, power. What does it mean? Where does it mean? That's when I said to some of you earlier that I sure wish the new preacher that's coming here in a few weeks had been here in Oskaloosa, because he's a student of the Greek and he could have explained it to me and I wouldn't have to look so hard. But there are a lot of words that describe power in the New Testament. Dunamis. It talks about strength. It's a power and it's the execution of power. It's spoken of God, the Messiah, the great power of God, meaning His almighty energy. It's power in action. Found in a number of places in the New Testament. Another word is ischus. It's a strength. It's a tremendous strength possessed by this power, but it's unused. It's there, but it's not being used. So it's held within. It's an inherent power. Denotes power which may remain inactive. It's there, but it may remain inactive. Excusia is another one. It talks about authority. Authority or the right to exercise the power. God has the right to exercise His power. Another word, and I'll stop with these because there were several others, is kratos, which means dominion. The outward manifestation of power. God said, God spoke, and out of the dominion of the power of God, the world was created. An example of this is found in Matthew 9, verses 6 through 8. It says, "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then He said to the paralytic, "Get up and take your mat and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to men. In other words, Jesus had the right and the might to forgive. Jesus had the right and the might to forgive. He demonstrated it in front of these people, and He demonstrated it through the healing of a physical paralytic, so the people could see it. I think the question needs to be asked, who had given the power? Who had given this kind of power? It says here, and the people praise God for giving this authority. Jesus didn't do it just on a whim. It was given by God the Father as a demonstration of His authority, of His dominion. All of those words, Jesus Christ had all of that dwelling within Him while He was here on earth and demonstrated the power to forgive. Some people will argue that the greatest miracle on earth that can happen to man is the forgiveness of sins, because it says we do not deserve forgiveness, but it is because of His grace and His love that He forgives us when we open ourselves to Him. Now, I want to go back a little bit to early Quakerism. There was a guy named Robert Barclay who wrote a book called The Apology. A very young man who had great gifts of intelligence, apparently, because as he'd learned Greek and Latin at a very young age, 18, 19 years old, and was writing this book of theology. I think I saw some common phrases in this book about power. He's talking about the work of God through the church and through believers and down even through the scriptures, and there's some different quotes here. One of them is, "Whenever the believers are assembled together to wait upon God and for adoration and worship, those whom the Spirit sets apart for the ministry are thus ordained by God and admitted to their ministry. Their mouths are opened by the divine power and influence of the Spirit, and words are given to them by which they exhort, reprove, and instruct with virtue and with power. I mean, I can tell you off, but that doesn't mean I have power. I might be trying to exercise some sort of control or power over you, but that doesn't mean it's the right kind of power. Exhort, reprove, and instruct with virtue and with power. This is Robert Barclay, what, 1670? A convert under the ministries of George Fox. Another place he says, natural wisdom and knowledge are dross and worthless compared with the cross of Christ. Well, what's dross? Okay, so you refine or you're smelting iron and impurities are the dross that comes to the surface and you scrape it off to get down to the pure. One quote says, and you will say with me that all the learning, wisdom, and knowledge that are gathered by the aid of man's own nature are but as dross and worthless compared with the cross of Christ. I think it was Mr. Shoemaker last night that reminded us that there is one symbol that is known everywhere in the world, and it's the cross of Christ. They may hate it, they may despise it, they may wish to spit upon it, but they know what it represents. And he was correct. It is empty. It is empty. I heard a Protestant preacher one day says, I refuse to sing the old rugged cross. I will not sing it. Because my Savior is not on that cross anymore. But I argued with him a little bit and I said, but wait a minute, it was sang for the first time ever up at the Friends Church in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. It's got to be good. We didn't dwell on that. Another quote, this is particularly true if they are destitute of that power, life, and virtue. Now pick up these three words, which I perceive that these excellent witnesses of God were filled with. You talk about people that were changing lives. They were going out on the highways and byways. This is the Valiant 60. These young adults, underscore that if you're upstairs there somewhere, young adults, 16, 17, 18 years old, leaving their families and going out and preaching the word on the highways and the byways of England at risk of their own bodily harm. But these were the witnesses that were filled with that power, life, and virtue, which I perceive that those excellent witnesses of God were filled with. My question to you tonight is kind of a Quaker query. What is your life's witness filled with? Power of the Holy Spirit? Or as Mr. Barclay is speaking of in this particular paragraph, talks about natural power, natural wisdom and knowledge. There is a difference. There is a difference. And another section where Mr. Barclay is talking about how a man is called to be a minister. He says, by the inward power and virtue of the Spirit of God, which will not only call him, but will in some measure purify and sanctify him. We heard those words last night also. It is the Holy Spirit that is purifying. It is the Holy Spirit that is sanctifying. But it is out of the inward power and virtue of the Spirit of God. Then he says on page 122, it is for these reasons that we who have experienced the inward and powerful work of this light, which is Jesus revealed to us in our hearts, cannot stop proclaiming the day of the Lord that has arisen there. I know I referenced a gentleman by the name of Michael Graves 3 years ago because I was reading his book, Preaching the Inward Light of Christ. And the other day he sent me an email. So I'm hoping to strike up another dialogue with the man. The reason I read his book is because it's the written copies of about 70-some of the that he had studied of the original text that we have of those first Quaker preachers and their sermons. The Quakers didn't believe in writing them down. That was a bad thing. So some other Protestants would come in, and they had shorthand dictation, and they wrote them that way, and then later printed them off, and then sold them. But that's the only way we have them. But when I looked at those sermons and those messages that they prepared and they delivered and they lived out, I couldn't help but think about how they believed what they were speaking about. He says, these people had experienced the inward and powerful work of this light, which is Jesus revealed to us in our hearts, and cannot stop proclaiming the day of the Lord has arisen there. My last one, I think, is the substance of order resides in the power, virtue, and the Spirit. In opposition to all this massive formality and the innumerable orders and rules and forms of church government, he was talking about the Presbyterian and the Catholic Church fight that was going on. You know, it was a civil war. We maintain that the substance is the principal thing to be sought. It is the power, virtue, and spirit that are to be known and waited for. These are the things which bring unity to all of the different names and offices used in the Scripture. The power, virtue, and spirit come out of and reside in our intimacy with God. We want to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We just simply have to wait on God intentionally. Intentionally. Intimate power. That's what I think we're talking about. Intimate power. It's an inward thing. When you go to the Greek and look up that word, it talks about an intimate connection. It means in union. My spirit and the Holy Spirit are in union. John 15:24. I'm not going to read these. John 6:56. John 14:20. Romans 16:7-11. 1 Corinthians 1:3. 1:30, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Ephesians 2:13, and 1 Thessalonians 4:16 all demonstrate intimate connection. Every one of those verses talk about being in Christ. To the God the Father as portrayed and enacted by Jesus Christ while on earth and being continued today through the Holy Spirit. And He's supposed to be continued today and portrayed through you and through me. It's not up to the preacher alone. All of these verses, I went back and reread them all this afternoon. While the Holy Spirit, it's all talking about when the Holy Spirit is intimate. When we are in Christ. Christ in us. In Christ, a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All those verses are referencing that. Where are you at? Last night when I went to bed, I think I fell into bed. On my mind, though, was this evening. And the only thing that kept coming to my mind was how I needed to get upstairs and experience the labyrinth of prayer. And when I woke up this morning, the first thing that was on my mind was, I need to get upstairs and experience the labyrinth of prayer. So I came down here and ate a little bit, and then I went upstairs. If you haven't been there yet, I suggest you do it. But take it seriously. I don't know whose idea this was. He gave me a little notebook to write down the things I was supposed to pray about. I said, I don't want to write that down. Some of it was kind of uncomfortable. You know? Pray for my enemies? Who says I have enemies? I want to know who said that. You know, I have all these reactions, but the reality was I went through the nine stages and the nine stations. And you know what? I had something come to my mind and heart in every station. And it felt good. We want purity, unity, and power in the church. We say we want it. We talk about it. Sometimes we might preach about it. But we have to be intimate with God in order to experience it. Not just some or part-time, maybe or perhaps, Perhaps when I get to it. But yes, and yes, and yes. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, we're told in Scripture. That is what we were told from the Bible. Where, when, how is the spiritual checkup that must take place each and every day with every believer? We want power in the church to do what? Draw others to Him? Or to grow our church to be the biggest in the yearly meeting? Folks, it has never been my church. It has always been His, with a capital H. We're called to serve and reach out in love always. Pretty strong words in some of those places in the New Testament about how we need to go out on the highways and the byways. Kathy Berry, is she still here? Kathy's a new pastor up at Earlham. Nina, are you in here? Well, it's an amazing thing. There's this woman who feels called of God to become a pastor. And I have to tell this story. She's not here, so I can tell it, right? No, I tell you this because out of respect. The church that she had asked, she asked me if I had any openings that she might apply for. Because she'd finished her degree at Berklee College as an undergraduate and gone ahead and done her master's degree. And I'd kind of been holding her off, I'll be honest with you. I've been letting her get a little more seasoning, is the right word, perhaps, before I strongly urged her to do things. But she asked about this one church, and I got to thinking precisely what I'm trying to say here. You want somebody that's going to go out in the highways and the byways and bring people in? Yeah, I think maybe you ought to talk to this woman. Now, she may not bring in everybody that you think would be the best person that you should go pick up. But she's sincere because she found Jesus Christ and has been transformed and is trying to live that out now. You and I are to go out on the highways and the byways and not just try to pick out the people we think ought to be in our church. You know, in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31, we have Peter and John on their release from jail. Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God, saying, "Sovereign Lord," they said, "You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father, David." Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against the Anointed One. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand and beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, this is a wonderful prayer. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Last verse, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Isn't that what we're asking? Isn't that the purpose of our prayer not to build up our church so that Ron Bryan goes down in the records of having an increase in the statistical membership someday when you write another book. No. Let's go to the next verse. This kind of power begins and ends with a relationship that begins with intimacy. That intimacy with God brings purity. And when we have purity from intimacy, we find unity. And out of the unity which is flowing out of purity, we can see the power of God to perform His will, be it miracles or healing, with boldness. But all of this is filled with and contingent upon and is permeated through obedience. Obedience. We've had prayers for unity. We've had prayers for forgiveness. Do we really mean them? Do we really mean them? What am I willing to give up in order to find unity in my church back home? Really? What if you prayed and God said, "Sorry, Ron, but it's your attitude that's holding everything back"? That can happen. That has happened. The next verse. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5 talks about strongholds. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets us against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient. Our call, I believe, tonight, as for the yearly meeting, all that are gathered here to unite in prayer. But it has to start with individual praying. Are we willing to humble ourselves before God, ask God to reveal whatever it might be in my life that could be enhanced or needs to be encouraged or perhaps needs to be healed? And then when you leave this place tomorrow afternoon, you take that spirit of forgiveness and healing back to your local church. Why can't we have strong, vibrant, healthy, spiritual churches that are obedient to what God is calling them to do? And I suspect there's a lot of different callings. I'm asking that we consider, and would you come up, tonight, to close our time of service in prayer. I remember, this has been on my mind several times since yesterday evening, when Doug Shoemaker talked about intimacy and talked about the birth of his baby and holding that baby in his hand and the kind of intimacy that comes out of that. And when I was speaking about that, I thought of a niece and a nephew of mine and my family that's sitting behind me. And when their second son was born, he was critically ill for many, many weeks. And I recall making a trip. I believe I ended up in the intensive care unit a couple times. The thing that struck me about it was the same thing that happened a few years before that when I was at La Grande. And we had a pair of twins that were born. And I went to the hospital to check on them, and they weren't doing real well. And they were in their little incubators, and the ambulance had been called from Des Moines. It was coming to pick them up, and they were going to rush them down and put them in intensive care. And I had the same experience with that. I went in there feeling incredibly out of my league, but I placed my hand on that incubator, and prayed for those children. And something miraculous takes place when that happens. At least it has for me. There is a bond between me and those children as they grow up that anytime I see them or hear their name, there is something that leaps in my heart. Now, I think that's intimacy. And I think that's unity. And I think it's union. It shouldn't be limited to just that, only in extreme emergencies. Jesus wants us all to be close to Him, so intimate with Him that we know His voice and we will be obedient to His calling in our lives. Can we? We're going to sing this chorus together, I think. And I want to ask if anybody here tonight would like to come forward and we can just kneel at this altar and we can pray. We have a season of prayer that's not over yet. Let's pray. Let's pray and see what God is trying to do. I've told you this story before. I was standing in a hut in Turkana, in an incredibly hot desert Turkana, and we were at the end of a service that we were speaking at, and I said, is there anybody here, any of you young people here feeling called to perhaps to follow God? And one of the young men stepped out and said, I believe I am. He stepped forward. And once again, I felt like, oh, wow. How is it that I could be in such a special place? I am so unworthy. But God may be calling you to something you had never planned on. He did. In me and in many of you that are in here. Because we've heard some of those testimonies this week. Let's pray. Let's sing together.
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, have mercy and grace. Oh, and welcome in this place. Lord, in Thy presence, the healing divine, no Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sin. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sin.
You know, I'm aware tonight that there, as I look out here, I know of one person who's lost a close relative just tonight. And I just pray that the Lord is filling that grief. I thought while I was praying of Rich Cobb, our pastor in Des Moines. He was here this afternoon. I know he's suffering. He's in his second round of chemotherapy. Still trying to do everything he can to plant a new church in Des Moines. I hadn't seen him for a few weeks, and he's lost several pounds. And I know he was in pain. So I hope we can pray for Rich Cobb and any every other need that you might have here tonight. Jesus is good all the time. And all the time. Amen. Let me have a prayer. Gracious Lord, you know inside of me tonight I am feeling so woefully inadequate because I am so abundantly clear in understanding that if it isn't of you, it's just chaff. Lord, I pray for our brother Rich, pastor, going through cancer. There may be other people in this room tonight that's suffering of cancer. Certainly a lot of it to go around. We pray for a healing touch, Lord, an anointing of the Spirit of healing upon Rich, that we unite in our voices together and our hearts together and say, Dear Lord, we pray that you restore this man to health. And we think of our sister here that has just been notified that she lost her sister tonight. But yet is still with us. Lord, we pray that you honor that love that she holds in her life for her sister and for her desire to serve you. And we know that you will be with her every minute in the next few days to care for every need that she and her family will have together. Jesus, we ask that you dismiss us tonight with the sense that we've been in your house. And if we've been obedient to you, then Lord, we just pray that it is genuine, which is a great word, and that we are filled with integrity in submitting ourselves to you. Our prayers, Lord, we offer up to you in love because you first loved us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.